Are you alive?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. That was way better than last time. Now stay that way. Thank you, Jesus. We've been here a long time, haven't we, babe? Well, actually, if you consider 20 years in the same place. You know what? What's that? Exactly 20 years now. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think God honors faithfulness? Not to a denomination or a church, but to a people. Because that is the essence of what church should be. It's relationship. And we've been in relationship with people here at King's Fire for 20 years. And it's an honor and real blessing to be able to have this honor of speaking to you. Now, just kind of like, just I really want what I say today to be what the Lord wants me to share. And nothing is written in stone at the moment. And so, Father, well, seriously, how many times has the Lord called me to share a word and then go, no, that was for you, and then go, this is what I want you to share on. Spontaneity is born out of preparation. I've been preparing since 1980. Oh, that's the year I gave my heart to the Lord. Yeah, I am really old. But I feel good. And so what I'm going to do right now is just declare in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit has his liberty not only to speak through me, but to speak to you as I speak in Jesus' name. Amen? About 6 months ago, maybe a little longer, Pastor Joshua handed all the leaders of the church a book called Contagious Disciple Making. The first thing that I thought was, disciple making isn't necessarily an exciting word, but if you put the word contagious in front of it, that all of a sudden it's like, I got to read this book. And I read it. I mean, I don't know how many of you can actually see, but I mean, I literally, I highlighted it, underlined, starred my notes. Kingdom of God has culture. That's the note that I put here on this particular page. And there wasn't any classes on discipleship. But then all of a sudden, discipleship started happening as we started regathering out of COVID. All of a sudden, discipleship started happening. Even to the point where this church last week sent a team of, how many were there? 7 people from here to Georgia from our team Supernatural. Yeah! Led by Pastor David Anolia, to go and minister the supernatural to a church in Georgia. And they saw God's supernatural in our midst. And it is in the true sense of what this book is saying in discipleship, because being a disciple is just not being a student in the classroom. Today's definition of disciple is, I'm going to know what the teacher or rabbi knows. I'm going to know, but it's more than that. It's way more than that. Now, I have a question. When Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, went around and he just pointed to people and he said, follow me, they picked up and followed him. Now, sometimes we get a visual picture of a Jesus that, you know, is wearing a white bathrobe with a beauty pageant sash coming across the front. And then you wonder, What kind of a, you know, I don't mean this in a negative sense, but what kind of a spell, you know, did he put on people that he pointed to them and they, I will follow you. That wasn't the way it was. What I'd like to show you is a 3-minute clip on the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. What makes people, what made them follow Jesus like that? Well, you need to know a little bit about the culture. When a Hebrew child was growing up, at around age 5, they started to teach them to read. And what they taught them to read was the Torah, the first 5 books of what we know the Bible is. And as they were taught to learn to read, they were expected to literally memorize those first 5 books. Memorize the first 5 books. And the best of the best that could memorize it and looked like students would continue on in their schooling, and they would continue on in their sacred scriptures, and they would be expected to learn and memorize these scriptures. And so by the time they got to the end of their schooling, only the best of the best of the best would be the ones that would be allowed to be able to become a rabbi. And so you see, when Jesus went to these fishermen, and he went to the tax collector, and he went to the zealot, he said, follow me. He was a rabbi. They weren't the best of the best. They went to their family's businesses to continue doing what their families were doing. And when a rabbi came, it was the greatest honor on earth to have a rabbi ask you to follow him. And so that's why they would lay everything down. But not everybody accepted it. The rich young ruler, when he was told, you know, what I want you to do is lay all your riches down and follow me. And that rich young ruler did what? He kind of said, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm ready right now. Maybe I'll be in time. Can I have the second slide? In the time of Jesus, a disciple wasn't just somebody who wanted to know what the rabbi knew. A disciple of a rabbi wanted to be just like the rabbi and wanted to learn to do everything that the rabbi did. You're probably wondering, where is he going with this? Well, one of the chapters in this book is I don't know. It's important that I disciple makers make disciples. And it's not about a disciple of a church or religion. It's a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want you to humor me here and just say, Lord, I need a new understanding of what I need to be before I can even be a true discipler of you. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't start today, regardless of where your walk in Christ is. If you became and have a relationship with Christ, okay, if you have that relationship 1 week ago, there's still people that you could bring alongside to encourage and to share your experience with, because your testimony is important to other people. And so don't think that because you've only been a Christian for 12 months, I'm not really good at discipling. Well, you see, Jesus' last words before he left this earth were, go and make disciples. Was he speaking to just the people that were present? Or was he speaking to the universe from that point on. Yeah, he was speaking to everybody, including us. Now it says, go preach the gospel. That's kind of a religious way of saying, go share good news. How many of you like to share good news? Well, I've got some good news in my heart that made my heart explode this morning. How do you like that word from God? There are times when I get into worshiping him, it feels like my insides are going to explode. But if you have a pressure cooker on the stove, an old-fashioned pressure cooker, and I'm not talking about these newfangled Instapots, which are pressure cookers also. If you have an old-fashioned pressure cooker and you weld the plug shut, and so it can't let off what's inside, the steam. In the same way, I feel the same way. That I'll explode if I don't start sharing what God is doing and speaking to me, to others. And so right now I'm saying that we all need to be disciples, but the best way to do that is to be a disciple of his, to follow him completely. You got to not only want to know what Jesus knows. You can study scripture, but I know a lot of people that study scripture. But it's kind of like of no use to them because they're not actively putting into action the word that's been placed in their heart. It says in scripture, a man who builds his house on sand. And then it also speaks of a man who builds his house on a rock. The church answer to that is, what is the rock? Jesus is the rock. Yeah, technically true, because Jesus is the word. But that particular scripture is written like this. A man who builds his house on sand is likened unto a man who hears the word but doesn't do it. But a man who builds his house on a rock is likened unto a man who hears the word and immediately goes out and does it. There's a responsibility here. You're hearing a word today. And if you want to build your house on sand, go and do nothing with the word you hear today. But if you want to build your house on a rock so that when trials and tribulations come, and they will, your house is on a firm foundation and your faith will remain strong because it's built on something. And the only way to accomplish that is not only to hear the word, study the word, be in the word, know what God's voice sounds like, but then put it into practice immediately, because how quickly we forget. What did the preacher preach about last Sunday? Well, I don't know. That's not a good place to be in. And you can say, ouch. Okay, now you have this ragtag bunch of guys. One of them was Peter, very impetuous, liked to take ears off soldiers' head with his sword. You know, just kind of like spontaneously, I'm not going to use the word I was thinking of. He was just probably not the best of the best. But Jesus used him in a mighty, powerful way. How many of you know that God is going to use you, each and every one of you in this place, so that this Hudson Valley, we're going to see a mighty revival, like, and the whole world is going to know about it. If 12 can change the world, how many? Don't limit your thoughts. I don't know. I don't know if the government's going to allow that. Bronx cheer. Okay, I'm going to read from you a scripture from Matthew. And that's where Jesus was on the mount, on the side of the mountain, preaching to 5,000 people. And they were hungry because Jesus was long-winded. I don't know. But he held their attention, didn't he? Because what he was feeding them was giving them life. And he fed the 5,000. And then it says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So here, Jesus was preaching all day, fed 5,000, and then sent his disciples to go across the river while he dispersed the crowd. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would Jesus? And then I realized, in the next verse, it said, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. The first thing a disciple needs to know is that the discipler, the rabbi Jesus, always took time away to be with his Father and pray. And Jesus' prayers wasn't a monologue. Oh, Father, I need something. It was a relationship that he had with his Father that he needed to sustain. And the first thing I'm going to tell you is that you need to be, you absolutely need to be prayerful if you're going to be an effective discipler. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already in a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So they went out, the disciples did, and they got halfway across, and the wind was blowing. The boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. They were terrified and screamed, it's a ghost! But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Those in the boat recognized the voice because God has been speaking since the beginning of time. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. There's nothing to worry about. And they recognized maybe not his voice, but they recognized the words of the rabbi, of the master. Then Peter said, and can I have slide 3, please? But Peter replied, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water. Whoa. Why would anybody in his right mind step out of a boat into the water? Well, that's because the rabbi was doing it, and Peter didn't want to know what the rabbi knew. Peter wanted to do what the rabbi did. And so when he eventually got to a place where Jesus said, go lay hands on that person, Peter said, yes, sir, and he did, and he truly had the Holy Spirit move through him to heal the sick. Tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come join me. Interesting. That took a lot of chutzpah. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, Lord, save me. Now, what does begin to sink seem like? Well, hold on a second. If you walk in on the water and all of a sudden you sink, you disappear. There's nobody to be able to catch your hand. But the Bible says he began to sink. Can I have slide 4, please? How many of you have stepped out in faith before and found yourself sinking? But there's a hand ready to reach out and help you and be there. Peter lost his confidence. He saw the wind. What does that mean? There has to be something in the wind, and there obviously must have been water in the wind, for him to see it. And when he saw something, do you realize that we can't be fooled by what we see? Because what we see sometimes is very deceptive. And we have to be careful not to respond to what we see, but we have to respond to what we know in our heart is truth in any situation. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sing, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" How many of you have seen the NCIS with Gibbs? And Jesus did a Gibbs to Peter. That's an insider if you don't know, if you've never seen NCIS. But Gibbs would just tap the back of somebody's head if they were kind of acting stunato. That's Italian for BBs for brains. How many of you have acted in such a way that got yourself in trouble? Jesus is reaching out. Jesus is reaching out to you so that you can be a discipler of many. Now I'm going to pass the podium to my wife. This is Diane. I'm going to go on the far side. July 10 will be 45 years we're married. Been good.
Okay, am I on? All right. So what does it mean to walk like Jesus? And the Lord was telling me that it means that God's manifest presence invades your life daily. And God is saying to this day that we need to have his manifest presence just invade us and come into us. When we were singing that song, "Lord, I want to be where you are," and I kept hearing the Lord say, "But I'm here. I am here in this place, and I am here for you right now. You are where I am. It's just that you have to invite me in. You have to call to me and I will answer you. Just seek my face and I am here for you because I have called you for this day to be here for this time and this season. So know that I am here for you today. And today is going to be a day of amazing change. So get ready. Get ready because you're about to move because the manifest presence of God is coming forth. Manifest means reality perceived by the eye. And God is saying today that he's giving us spiritual eyes to see into him, to see into the atmosphere, to know what we have to do and what we have to say. Psalm 85:9 says, "Surely his salvation is near to those who reverently fear him and obey him with submissive wonder. That glory, the manifest presence of God, may dwell in our land." Now, how many of you do want to have that manifest presence in our land today? I better see every hand up there, every hand, because we want to see the manifest presence of God in our land today. And God wants us to be able to know and to walk and to see his glory. He's shown me for so many years that we need to just ask. So many times we mutter, we like, "Oh Lord, I need this, oh Lord, I need that." And God is saying to ask. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. God is wanting us to come to a point, the times that we are living in, the season that we're in now, we need to seek his face continually. Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you." We all know this one. "Seek and you will find, knock and it will be open unto you." But do you do it? Do you ask? Do you knock? Do you call to him? Do you say, "Lord, I need you. I need to know this"? And then John 16:24 says, "Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be full." people in this atmosphere, in this time now, are struggling with joylessness. But God is saying, I want to restore your joy this day. And so it's time to start asking me for things. It's time to start asking for the fire in the church to fall. It's time to start asking for healing and believing and declaring it and knowing it will happen. You have to keep asking. And people ask me, well, Diane, how do you hear God? And be honest with you, I don't know how to explain that one, except Rich said, we've been with God since 1980, and I was a slow learner, you know. And when we got saved together on the same day, Rich just went, whoa, and he was Tigger. Boing, boing. And I was a partial Eeyore. I'd be a little bouncing like, oh, no, what's happening now? And we had that little conflict for a few years because he was so on fire and I had so much baggage, I didn't know what to do with it all. But God said, just listen to me, speak to me, pray. Praying is the most important thing you can do. And well, 1 second commercial, the Lord laid it on my heart that this Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. And I'm sorry, but our church needs to be involved. And so I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock this Thursday, and I'm hoping to see most of you here with me because we need to pray for our nation, for our churches, for the Hudson Valley, for New York State needs it big time. And I can't do it alone, people, so please join me. 7 p.m. Yeah, I don't do 7 a.m. well. So he knows that. Because I contemplated, but I thought, no, more people can come out. You have a good dinner, and you come out and you pray. So we need to pray together this Thursday at 7. And praying is so important. And then listening to the Lord. And often I just ask the Lord, what are you saying? What do you want to tell me today? And it's just tuning in and being quiet for a little bit and listening to his voice. This Bible I have right here, this particular Bible is my miracle Bible. I got the Full Life Study Bible, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, and I loved it. It was just what I wanted. It was an NIV, and it had study in it, and I loved it, but I used it so much, it started to fall apart, and then I lost Genesis, and it was gone, and So I couldn't get it in a bookstore, and I found it on eBay, and I got a second one. And over the years, if you were here with Pastor Vaughn, I took so many notes, and I used to write down his sermons in my Bible, and once in a while, he'd repeat a sermon. I said to him once, you know what? You didn't say the same thing last time, you know? But that Bible just about a year ago fell apart. The cover even fell out. It wasn't only Genesis, it was Exodus was gone too. And I was like, Lord, I have to have another. And I went on everywhere, Amazon, eBay, bookstores. I could not find it. And one day the Lord said, go on Amazon now. And I went on Amazon and it was like Full Life Study Bible. King James Version? You want me to buy the King James Version? Like, I'm going to understand that. And he goes, I want you to order the King James Version. Order this one. This is the one for you. So I ordered it, and you know how speedy they can be? 2 days later, it came in the mail. I opened the box, and it was the Full Life Study Bible, NIV. It's my miracle Bible. And I listened. God said to order it. And I was like, order King James? You know, but God gave me the desire of my heart because I listened to his voice. And so many times people are asking me, how do you do it? And I say, well, I just ask him. And Pastor Josh kind of said to me, I want you to start prophesying. And I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy, help me. You know, and so in here in church on Sundays, I sit here and I say, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? What do you want your people to know today? That tell me something I don't know already, because I love fresh manna. I want to hear something new and exciting. I don't want to hear, well, today is a new beginning. New things are happening. New things in this land. New things here. New things there. New things everywhere. You know, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear specifics. I want to hear what God is really going to do so we know how to move and be ready for him. And so I ask for fresh manna. I ask for the current word. I ask him, and then I pray in the spirit. I pray in tongues. And I'll tell you, that's the only way I know how to pray. And today, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, today is your day. It is your day. We need it. When I pray for people, we get our own thoughts. We get our own things going on in our head. And you know, us women, I'm going to say for women, we're good body language readers. You know, we can look at somebody, we know what they're thinking already. But I don't want to read body language. I want to hear God's language. I want to hear what he has to say for people. So I ask him and I say, Lord, what's for this person? What do you want me to speak? And what do you want me to say? When we used to go in the prisons at Downstate, we'd have 16 to 30 men. And they wanted me to prophesy every month. And I'm like, I know you already. I know what I said last month to you. But you know, God kept being faithful every time. And he's saying, I need my people armed and dangerous. I need you to be able to speak in tongues so that you can hear my voice clearer. If you get saved, you're going to heaven. But if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear his voice like you've never heard before. And you know, we all get different languages and different things. And I have a similar one that sounds the same pretty much all the time. Once in a while, I go, Shung Kai, Yo Ho Sha. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm doing Chinese today. You know, and it's like, I kid you not. But I pray with friends on the phone every Friday. And one of the women studies Hebrew. And so she actually said to me last week, she goes, Diane, some of the words you say, I translate in Hebrew. And one of the words I say a lot, it just repeats, it's the word shama. And it means hearing and obeying. And it means that obeying is successful listening. So when I'm saying shana bakasha shama shaba kosha shama, I'm actually saying that. I was like, wow, I know some of the things I'm saying now. And then another one I say she told me was Shaba. And that means to take an oath, and it denotes a sevenfold affirmation. So when I'm praying in tongues, I didn't even know for the last 30 years, I've been praying a sevenfold affirmation. God, that's amazing. And then she told me the word sha. I repeat sha, sha, sha lots of times. And it means ask for and pray for and to speak forth breakthrough. So when we pray in tongues, we don't know what we're praying. I have a friend that knows Hebrew, and obviously I guess I've been praying Hebrew, you know. But I don't know and I don't care what language it is. I'm just saying it's powerful. It's needed in the church. And God is giving us a call. And I asked for a word for today. And the Lord said to me, there's a call, an assignment for the people to exercise aggressive faith. That is the word for today. Exercise aggressive faith. Exercise. We all don't like the treadmill and all that stuff. But, you know, exercise is putting into action spiritual exertion. It's putting in the effort. God is saying it's time to exercise in the church, people. It's time to exert and put out for God like we've never put out before. That we need to exercise his word. We need to speak his word. We need to be just involved in him so much that we just, like Rich was saying, it's just inside and it's burning inside. And then aggressive, it's an all-out effort to win. It's boldly assertive and it's violent. And I love the scripture in Matthew 11:12 that says, the kingdom of heaven is entered into by force and violent ones take hold of it. Okay, I'm preaching violence in church today, people. And we know that it's the violence of God. It's a passion and it's a fire for God because we do not wage war like the world does. We do not throw stones. We don't throw bricks. We don't throw frozen water bottles at people. But we throw the word of God at people. And today is the day that we have to continue throwing the word of God at people. And I thank you, Lord. And then faith is full confidence and trusting God, trusting in his promises. And it's also loyalty to God in his word. And he's looking for a people who are loyal. Faith is believing the things that we don't see yet, knowing it will happen. When my son got in trouble many years ago, I prayed I prayed so hard and I said, Lord, I declare in Jesus' name that he will come to know you, that he will get out of trouble and he will become a productive man. His name is Joshua, and he actually got an Asian tattoo one time, and I said, what does that mean? And he goes, warrior. And I looked at him, I go, praise God, hallelujah, you got the right tattoo, because I've declared that you are Joshua and you will be mighty warrior for the kingdom of God, that you won't be afraid to cross the river Jordan and go into the land of the giants and fight the enemy. And that boy that gave us so much heartache is the police officer now, and God is so good. God is calling us. We're the true ecclesia. We're to raise our standard of faith like we never have before. You know what? When I'm struggling with my faith and believing, I'm just like, Lord, I want an extra measure of it today. I need an extra measure of faith. And he always comes through. He always comes through. My attack on my eyes was 4 years, but I declared to my doctor that Dr. Jesus was going to do it because he couldn't. And y'all know my testimony, Dr. Jesus healed my eyes. God has armed us with weapons. We have spiritual weapons. And like he said, we don't war as the world wars. We don't. We have divine powers that we can demolish strongholds. We can demolish strongholds. And I know that Supernatural was in Georgia. Rich and I were in South Carolina, and the strongholds are different down there. They're more open to the gospel. Rich wore his Marine cap, that for our son was a Marine too. And people commented and were kind and laughing. And up here we come back and it's hard and it's tough in New York State. But I declare in Jesus' name that no longer will New York State be a tough state, but it will become the kingdom state. It will become a state for Jesus Christ. And we have to keep pressing in and not giving up and trusting him. And our best weapon is our voice, our voice. And it's time to raise the bar. It's time to raise the bar with our voice. It's time to step up boldly. That's how we disciple people. That's how we become disciples. It's time to raise our expectations, and it's time to go higher with God and have higher goals and declare that we are going to preach the gospel to people. A few weeks ago at the center, we just had a week that was unbelievable. In 10 work days, there were 6 salvations. God is, he's just taking people who are hurting now and struggling now. And the enemy, Satan, wants us to be discouraged. Satan wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to feel hopeless and fearful. But I've been telling him, you know what? I'm not giving in to Satan. I'm not going to be, you know, sometimes when I first was got a diagnosis about my eyes, I said to Rich, I'm going to cry for 5 minutes and then I'm going to fight. Because we've got to get the emotion out. So I cried literally for 5 minutes, looked at the clock in the car and said, okay, now it's time to fight. Now it's time to speak the word that by the stripes shed at Calvary that I am healed. And so we need to keep doing that with everything in our lives. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to declare that we can speak things. And we need to know that it's the time of the release of God's fire. God's fire has been released in this place, and we've been speaking it into the King's Fire. And Pastor Von Gerald gave us this name, King's Fire. And I was thinking about it yesterday, and I thought, he prophesied over this church 20 years ago. He prophesied over this church that this church would be a King's Fire church. So today, I release the power of fire. And I was feeling like God was saying, it's time to be radical. It's time for the radical remnant to follow the Holy Spirit to a new level and a new authority. And I love the word radical. It's supporting or representing an extremeness. And I want to be extreme for Jesus. We have to be extreme for Jesus. And I'm speaking that into every single one of you now. Be extreme for Jesus. Paul was saying, he goes, my determined purpose is to be my utmost for his highest, my best for his glory. And our best is walking with him. Our best is knowing that in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power and ability, efficiency and might when the Spirit has come upon you, so that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the bounds of the earth. And God has a divine plan for each and every one of us. And right now I'm speaking to the people of King's Fire. He has a call upon us. It's time to walk in that movement that was prophesied by Pastor Vaughn, that we are King's Fire, that as Ecclesia we are rising up. We are rising up. The Pentecost that happened in Acts 2, there was suddenlies that came forth. Suddenly, mighty winds came forth and tongues of fire. And I know we've been having a lot of wind lately. Have you noticed that? Amen. Hallelujah for the wind. And God is saying, I'm bringing tongues of fire upon my people and King's Church. This is a day. There's so many kinds of fire. There's so many kinds of fire. And the harvest fields are so ready. I see that where I work. I see that people coming to my door. I think I shared in the class one time that the guy selling solar panels came to my door. And I said, do you want to do that for the rest of your life? And he looked at me like, no. I said, well, there's a better way with Jesus. He will help you. And I prayed for the solar panel seller who was on my doorstep. God is saying that today there's four kinds of fire. There's first fiery trials. And in Peter it says, don't be surprised at the fire ordeal that has come on you to test you, but rejoice because you are participating in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. So just remember, if you're experiencing that kind of fire, it's only temporary. I had a friend, he was an elderly man when I was young, and he always said, and this too shall pass. And you know what? When we're going through things, it will pass, because God is going to pass it for us. He's going to get us to the other side. And then there's refiner's fire. And this fire is this fire that burns away all the impurities. It burns away insecurity. It burns away ambition and pride. Today, let that fire fall upon you too, that if anything is holding you back, today is the day that it's going to be gone in Jesus' mighty name. And then there's fire and glory, and it comes to encounter and to abide and to draw us into the person of Jesus in all of his glory. And then there's prophetic fire. And God, I feel, is raising up prophets in this time. He's raving up some prophetic people in this house. He is saying our voice is our weapon. And so we are to use our voice for his purposes, for his fire, to bring it forth. And Rich said something similar. We knew the same topic, but he was saying similar things that I had planned. And Jeremiah, he's one of my favorites, but in 2019 or 29, he says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. There may be days that come ahead, maybe not in my age group, but some of our kids and our grandchildren might be a time that you can't speak the word out loud. But know what? It's inside us. Put it in. Put it in. The Lord came to me one day as a child. He always came to me looking like the Jesus in the bathrobe. And when I pray, I would always see his face. And just about 6 months ago, when I was praying, I saw the God in Revelation 1. I saw Jesus with the white hair. Rich, can you get my water, please? Just grab it quick. My voice tends to go. And I won't let my voice go. I'll just get closer to the mic and still say what I have to say for Jesus. That this is the day that he has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day of releasing his fire. this is the day of a new assignment for this church, that we have an assignment to share the fire, to be glory carriers, that this is the day that His manifest presence is here in this place. I declare it and I speak it over every single one of you. I know that His power can be upon you. Like I was saying before, He's raising up prophetic voices. It's not just going to be me. I don't want to be the only one. I want to hear prophetic voices come forth, but you got to listen to His word. You got to put word in and listen and then speak word out. And God is saying, this is the day. This is the day to receive His fire. It's the day of change. It's the day of His voices thundering over us. I was reading this scripture just to end now. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord sounds with strength. The voice of the Lord with majesty. His voice is speaking over us today. My voice may be getting weak, but His voice is always strong. His voice has been thundering to us for a while now, since COVID started, since actually before the election and things were happening. And He's saying, I'm speaking. Are you listening? Are you hearing my voice today that you can hear? You can hear also. Just sit with me and be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, that I am powerful, and I want to empower you. I said in my word that you will do greater things than I would do, that you will bring forth disciples, and they will bring forth disciples, and they will bring forth disciples. That is a thing that's going on, and we are to go forth because God is saying, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. This day, I can't leave here without telling you how important it is to be saved. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you've never invited Him in, today is the day to step forward and say, Jesus, I need you in my heart. Because things are hard in the world right now. But guess what? With God, I get excited to see what He's going to do. I get excited about what God is going to do. I can't let the cares of the world bog me down. So if you need Jesus, I want you to come up. And then also, if you have never been baptized by the Holy Spirit, today is the day. Don't hold back. Don't let fear hold you back, because fear is from Satan. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. Fear is from the enemy, and we will not walk with anything that the enemy tries to put on us. So if you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, today is the day to come forward. And if you need healing in your bodies, that you come forward this day. Team Supernatural will be coming up. Rich and I will be here. We will pray if you want salvation. We will pray if you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, today is the day. Today is the day. If you want healing, we're going to press in for healing. I'm pressing in for my knee to be healed. I've been pressing in, and I know it's going to be healed. I have no doubt in my mind that God is healing my knee. So this day, I encourage you to receive the fire. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for everyone in this room, that everyone has a call and a purpose for you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you want us at our best, Lord. You want to take us to a new level with you. And Lord, I urge your people right now that if they want this newness with you, this new level, this strength, this raising of the bar, the time to raise the bar, because it's time that we are in a fight, but we are fighting with faith. We are fighting with the word of God and speaking with our voice. Thank you, Lord, for these people. I just ask, Lord, that you pour blessing upon them this day. Blessing for their families, blessing for their children and their children's children. Thank you, Lord, for blessing, your blessing. I thank you, Lord, that we can walk in divine faith, that we have faith that will move mountains.
And I declare this all in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, bring up the people to the altar who need it today. In Jesus' mighty name. And I declare, amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.